from what is a very familiar passage as it regards godly women on this Mother's Day. Let's turn to Proverbs 31. And we'll read verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Reading from the English Standard Version of God's Holy Word, whatever version that you have is fine. Beginning in verse 10, here is what the Word of the Lord says. The ESV version renders this way: an excellent wife who can find. Other versions render it a virtuous woman. Right? This one says, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers the field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Amen. You may be seated. I want to steal our subject for today from verse 10, and we're going to lift for the theme, far more precious than rubies. Far more precious than rubies. You know, the ESV renders it jewels, but it's translated rubies. Rubies. Rubies are very hard gemstones, almost as hard as diamonds, but much more colorful. In fact, they are even considered as being more rare and expensive than diamonds. The most famous source for rubies today is Burma, where we get them from. In the ancient world, rubies were called the king of precious stones. And they were the rarest and most beautiful of precious stones even then. Solomon imported rubies into his kingdom, along with vast amounts of gold, silver, and other precious stones. In his writings in Proverbs, he used rubies as the standard for comparing the value of other things. According to Solomon, three things are specifically more precious than rubies: the ability to speak prudently in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15, is more valuable than rubies. Wisdom, Solomon says in Proverbs 8 and 11, is more valuable than rubies. And a godly woman, here in Proverbs 31, 10, is more valuable than rubies. In this passage, in Proverbs 31, God, through the writer, presents us with his majestic description and estimation of what a godly woman, who is also a wife and mother, looks like. God's estimation, his majestic description of what this woman looks like. In verse 10, we get her value, far greater than rubies. And in verses 11 through 31, we get the reasons for her great value. If you begin at verse 1 of Proverbs 31, what you'll get is godly, motherly wisdom and advice from a mother to her kingly son named Lemuel. That's in verses 1 through 9. We don't know who King Lemuel is. We don't know who his mother is, obviously, if we don't know who he is. But in those first 9 verses, she gives him motherly wisdom and advice about how to be a man and how to be a king. And then suddenly in verse 10, things shift. And it's no longer, it's thought, Lemuel's mother or Lemuel's account of his mother telling the story. It's now back to the writer of this proverb, who's talking about what a godly woman looks like and her value in 11 through 31. What we get in these verses is the reasons for her value. As we study this picture here in Proverbs today, the hope is that it will help us to do two things on this Mother's Day. Honor, number one, and inspire, number two, mothers. Number one, we hope this passage will help us to honor mothers. Number two, we hope that this passage will help to inspire mothers to be more like the words of this passage. So this woman whom God praises and defines as excellent here in the ESV, of noble character in the NIV, and virtuous in the King James Version, and whose value is far above rubies in verse 10, is shown to possess at least 6 admirable characteristics or qualities in verses 11 through 31. So can we look at them quickly today just to help us to be inspired and to help us honor mothers? First thing that we see as a quality of the picture of this woman here is this: she's trustworthy. It's in verse 11. She's trustworthy. Verse 11 again says this: the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. I like how the Amplified Version renders this verse. It says this: the heart of her husband trusts in her confidently and relies on and believes in her securely, so that he has no lack of honest gain or need of dishonest spoil. This wife and mother is one whose character is such that she can be depended on. She is reliable. She is responsible. Her husband can put confidence in her, and her children know her to be dependable. If she says it, she's going to do everything in her power to do it. Anybody here have a mother like that? That if she said it, she'd go out of her way to make sure that it got done. Her life is based on the solid ground of fearing God and doing what is right. Regardless of these things, regardless of circumstances, temptations, or opportunities to compromise, those things don't bother her. It doesn't bother her. She always has the best interest of those she loves on her heart. That's what's on her heart all the time. Remember, we said that what we're trying to do today is to, number one, honor mothers, and to, number two, inspire mothers. So if this description fits you, we are honoring you. If you don't quite meet the standard, then we are inspired. Not we, but the Word of God is inspiring you. And at the end, I'm going to talk about how it's not only inspiring mothers, it's actually inspiring all of us. We'll get to that. Right now, we're talking about mothers. So let me just say this. This woman described in verse 10 is trustworthy. She is a safe place for the hearts of her family. They feel safe with her. But she's not only trustworthy, she's also benevolent and compassionate. It's in verses 12 and 20. If you read those verses, you'll find out that this godly woman seeks to make a positive contribution toward the well-being of some people. She wants to make a positive contribution to the well-being, toward the well-being of her husband, of her children, and even of others. She wants to make this positive. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says this: she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Then verse 20 says this. Verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is both benevolent and compassionate. In fact, she is moved and motivated by her compassion to make a difference in the lives of others. It's what motivates her. It's what moves her, that she wants to see others doing well, whether it be her children, whether it be her husband, or whether it be others just in the community or in the world. She desires to see them doing well. Love, give, and help are the four-letter words in her vocabulary. Now, I know some mothers and fathers have some other four-letter words that creep up every now and then. but for this mother who fits this picture, the key words for her: love, give, and help, because she is both benevolent and compassionate. Not only that, she's also industrious. All throughout this passage, you see evidence of her industriousness. She is industrious. She takes pain in her duties and takes also pleasure in them. She enjoys being industrious. She is careful to fill up time, that nothing of her time would be lost. She rises early. She does what she does with all her power and, according to the text, is never idle. She makes what she does turn to good account by prudent management. She has business acumen. She's a good business person. She's wise in that. She spends money wisely and uses it in the best way to get maximum productivity for the benefit of her family. She is industrious. Not only that, she's also strong and confident. She's strong. It's in verses 17 and then again in 25. 17 says this: she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She's strong, and she's confident, not boastful, not braggadocious, not any of that, just confident in who she is. Her character exemplifies wisdom, strength, and a good self-image. She has those things. She is cool as she faces future uncertainties. The text says she laughs at the time to come. How can you do that? Because future uncertainties don't move you. You don't get distracted or disgusted or any of those things, discouraged about things that might happen tomorrow. You're so confident in who you are and who your God is in you that you can look at the uncertainties of tomorrow. Now, remember, I said I'm talking to mothers right now, but before I sit down, I'm going to wrap it all around, bring it back to all of us, because everything I'm saying fits everybody. I'm just giving you a clue where we're going with this. She's so confident in her God that what the prognosticators say about tomorrow, what the news stations say about what may happen, what people in the negativity might say about what is to come, she laughs at it because she knows who her God is. She is clothed in dignity and self-confidence. It's good to have self-confidence versus low self-confidence or low self-esteem. Low self-confidence, low self-esteem is dangerous. The woman who holds herself in low esteem will not be able to relate positively and constructively to others. Because it's hard to share positivity with others when you don't feel positive about yourself. I mean, you can fake it, but it's going to come across as being fake. And so it's important that this woman is described as being strong and confident. To overcome the peril of low self-confidence, low self-esteem, there must be realistic evaluation within. You must evaluate yourself realistically on the inside. You know, it's got to be real. You've got to do that. And there must be also expressed appreciation without. What do I mean by that? It means that it's good to every now and then be told by others how much you are appreciated. Hello, husbands. Y'all still in the house? It's good to be told by others, your children, your husbands, those that are outside of you, how much you are appreciated, which leads me then to this. She's strong and confident. She's also valued by her family. She's valued by her family. 28 and 29 says this: her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. She ought to hear that every now and then. I mean, maybe you don't use the words of the writer of Proverbs, but you ought to be able to say it in your own way. Her children rise up and call her blessed. In any loving, properly functioning family, all the members recognize the value of the others in the family. In this case, the children and the husband declare the excellency or the invaluable contribution the godly woman had made in their lives. Her children, in whom she has invested her life, stand up and publicly praise their godly mother. It's a good habit to do that every now and then. I know you may have had hiccups and bumps along the way, and I know maybe it wasn't an ideal situation. I realize all of that. But the reality is that it's a blessing to have a mother. And every now and then, you ought to say something kind about her publicly. Let folks know how much of a blessing she has been as she has invested in your life. And then, the husband who has received so much from this special woman in his life, also in the text, praises her for the blessing she has been to him. Paul says that we ought to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We ought to do the same thing. We ought to love them, and we ought to every now and then, as often as we can, express openly, not just on Mother's Day, not just on birthday, not just on special occasions. Have you ever surprised? So I'm talking to the brothers now. Get back to the mothers and talk to the brothers. Have you ever just surprised out the blue? You do know. Those times when you do that will never be forgotten. I still hear now. I ain't bragging. I'm just saying. I've done it a couple of times in 38 years, and I still hear. I'll never forget that time. I ain't going to tell you the rest of that. You fill in the blank how you want to. I'm just saying it ought to be out the blue sometime. Amen. And so it's what helps to avoid this trap of low self-esteem, of low self-confidence, because I'm just telling you, you want a mother who has high self-confidence and brother, you want a wife who is confident in herself, who has high self-esteem, who's not prideful, but who's confident, who's not conceited, but convinced about who she is in God. And we can help them, if they're not already there, to get there. She's valued by her family. And then lastly and likely most important, she fears the Lord. This is the picture of this godly woman that we read about in Proverbs 31. She fears. You can take all the rest of it out. You can just read verse 30. She fears the Lord. Let me read it again. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. You know what that means, right? It means a couple of things. It means this. Don't believe everything you see from a person, woman, man, whoever, because what you get, my wife used to always say this about people, normally what you get, like when you first meet people, is their representative. You don't really get oftentimes the real who they are. You get the charming one. Ladies, you ought to be able to say amen to that for the one you thought was the one. Because he was charming. But the writer says, not me, the writer says charm can be deceitful. Not only is charm deceitful, beauty is fading. It's vain. It's like a vapor. It's going. So I'm just saying, the writer says, don't trust too much in either of those. Charm or beauty, because as beautiful as my wife is, and I'm just saying. And as beautiful, let me clean it up, as beautiful as she believes I am. Okay. Judd, I know how to fix it. Both of our beauties are going to fade away as we keep going to bed and waking up every morning. Now, we may still be beautiful in each other's eyes. I know how to fix that thing. I've been doing this a long time. But in the eyes of others, it's likely that 40 years from now, because I still plan to be married to her and still be here. Now, Lord may say something different about me still being here. But 40 years from now, I'm probably not going to be as beautiful as I am today in your eyes. She going to say I'm still beautiful because I'm going to say she's still beautiful. But in the eyes of others, my beauty, her beauty, boy, I'm still fixing it, ain't I? It's going to fade away. I'm just saying, because it's vain. And if you only married her because of her outward beauty, you're going to be in trouble. Because the hair going to turn gray. And now I'm finna mess up again. Stuff that used to live upstairs gonna move to the basement. And if that's what got you, you gonna be in trouble along the way. But here is what the important thing has to be, that there must be a healthy fear of the Lord. That's what's most important. This woman fears the Lord. She is devoted to Christ. The true secret to her beauty, her love, and her ability to be a blessing to her loved ones is found in her faith, because she is a woman who loves the Lord. She has the ability to allow the Lord to love through her. She is a blessing to others because she walks with the Lord. She fears. This is the most important thing about this woman. She fears the Lord. This is Mother's Day. We're talking about godly mothers, godly wives, a godly woman. So can I just share a poem with you? Entitled God's Masterpiece is Mother, by Herbert Farnham. Here's what he says. God took the fragrance of a flower, the majesty of a tree, the gentleness of morning dew, the calm of a quiet sea, the beauty of the twilight hour, the soul of a starry night, the laughter of a rippling brook, the grace of a bird in flight. Then God fashioned from these things a creation like no other. And when his masterpiece was through, he called it simply Mother. Mothers, this is your day. We honor you today. We hopefully, through the word of God, inspire you today, because you are indeed a treasure. But lastly, I need to say this. Although this is Mother's Day, and this is a passage regarding godly mothers and wives, and we said that our intent today was to honor and inspire mothers, there's also application for the church, which is described, by the way, itself as a virtuous spouse. God, by his grace, has formed among sinful men and women a church of true believers that it might possess all the excellences described in these final verses of the book of Proverbs. It also applies to all of us, the church. We talked about women and mothers throughout that passage. The writer writes about that. But everything he describes in this godly woman applies to each and every one of us. We all, Brother John, should be inspired by this text. I know we say, man, it's hard to live up to this description. Mothers are out there, wives are out there saying, I don't know if I can do all that. That's a high bar. But here it is. We all together, all of us, men, women, boys, and girls should be our desire to press toward this mark every day as believers in God's church to fit this description. Let us all also be trustworthy. Let us all strive to be benevolent, compassionate, strong, confident, fearers of the Lord. All of us. Lord, we thank you. You've called us all to this. We love you and thank you that you blessed us with mothers. We honor our mothers today. We honor the mothers today. We all desire to be inspired by the bar that's been set. Bless us all to have a desire to be trustworthy and compassionate, thoughtful and wise, and all of those things ourselves. And then finally, Lord God, we know that if we would just be fearers of the Lord, things would fall into place. Help us to do that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.